These days, there is a new buzz phrase, if you don't mind me using that expression, among Catholic bishops. It's called the circle of protection. So somewhere around July, representatives of the Catholic bishops and 60 other Christian denominations, they met with President Obama and asked him and the congressional leaders that as they face this unprecedented financial crisis in terms of the national deficit and debt, as they face all of these, they protect programs for hungry and poor people as they make decisions. The Catholic representative, Bishop Ramirez, this is what he said. He said, "We come here not to advance a particular plan, but a fundamental moral principle. Put the needs of the poor first in allocating scarce resources. As religious leaders, our concern is not which party wins the current political battles, but we know if we don't speak up, who is likely to lose? The families trying to feed their kids, the jobless looking for work, the children who need health care, the hungry and sick and hopeless around the world." So it is in this context that these religious leaders, including the Catholic bishops, are asking our political leaders to provide a circle of protection around the poor and the weak. The phrase "circle of protection" reminds us of another phrase in the Old Testament. You may have heard this before. It's called God's preferential option for the poor. And this means that in God's heart, there is a very special place for those who are economically and socially vulnerable. Preferential option for the poor. And today's first reading is an example of that. Hear this. "You shall not molest or oppress an alien." Today's language, immigrant. "For you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt. You shall not wrong any widow or orphan," because in Hebrew society, orphans and widows were the most vulnerable. "So you shall not oppress an orphan or widow. If you ever wrong them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry." In other words, the laws of the primitive cultures, such as the Hebraic culture, they recognized that human beings are capable of exploiting the weak and oppressing the poor. We just have it as if it was our human nature to do that. So they built into their religious laws an obligation to protect the poor and the weak. And I want you to recognize something. The connection between the economic need and the religious laws. In other words, protecting the poor is not just a social or economic law. No, it is a religious obligation to protect the weak and the poor. So in this way, there is a direct connection between God and the poor. God's preferential option for the poor. Now, this connection is brought out even more strongly in today's gospel reading. The Pharisees come to ask Jesus this question: which is the greatest commandment? Jesus surprises them. He gives them not one, but two commandments. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul." And then he does something that is unheard of in Mosaic law. He adds very quickly another commandment, and he says there's another one that is like the first commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus totally reinterprets Hebraic law for the people. Now generally, back in my parish, I always give three practical implications from the readings. So I explain the readings to you. And I hope to do that, unless you want to stop me after the first and say, stop, we're okay with one practical implication. So let's try. I'm going to give you three, and here's my first one. Today's readings, I think, offer us a test for our own spiritual health. And I'm going to ask you to interact with me as we do this. Okay, at some point I'm going to ask you to respond to my question. So I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. Now, not everybody has to do it, but if you want to join in, please do. Okay. So here's my question: do you love God? Put your hands up if you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Good. I wish I could come here every Sunday. The second question will be the true test of your answer. So I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. You evaluate your own life. What you have just said about God, does that instinctively lead you to the poorest and the most vulnerable in our society? Are you able to identify yourself with the weak and powerless of the world? Does it hurt you that by the time we have finished celebrating this Eucharist, a child would have died of hunger? Here's my second set of questions. Once again, put your hands up if your answer is positive, okay? Do you have a genuine concern for the poor and the weak? Very good. Now, I hope that your love for the poor comes from the fact that you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Otherwise, all we do is social work. It could be just a political tool. So what am I really saying? I'm saying that our love for God must express itself in our love for the poor. And our love for the poor must be rooted in our love for God. Make sense? First point. You want me to go to the second point? Okay, well, was that a yes or no? Yes. Okay. Now, I began with the representatives of Christian leaders going to the political establishment of our nation. In some sense, there is a political point that I'm trying to make in my second point. It seems to me that in debates about the poor and the deficit and all the debt in our country, that our nation and the church is bitterly divided. The perception generally is that life in the womb is the domain of the political right, and social concern is the domain of the political left. One side claims that all our effort should go in protecting life in the womb, whereas the other side claims that the government has an undeniable role in protecting the hungry and the poor. Today in this church, if I had to ask you to raise your hands about these opinions, I'm sure there will be multiple opinions, perhaps both sides. But as far as God is concerned, if God is truly present in this church, does it matter to God which half of the church is blue and which half of the church is red? As far as God is concerned, the most vulnerable in the womb and outside the womb are equally important. God makes a preferential option for the poor, no matter where the human person is placed, inside or outside the womb. And so for us as Catholics to ignore our responsibility toward either of these groups of people, in the womb or outside, is a failure to live the love commandment. So as this election year already started, and as if you hear all the bickering and all the criticism that people make of each other, both sides, here is what I'm hoping, that as Catholics, we will let our faith inform our politics and not our politics inform our faith. That no matter what choice we make, first that it is God who is at the center of the decisions we make. Here's my third point. God's preferential option for the poor. There is a logic behind it, a rather enlightening logic. Let me give you an example of this. Last Thursday, all the priests of the Archdiocese gathered at Incarnation Parish for what we call a convocation. So all the priests gather and we talk about various topics. And one of the topics that came up was Catholic schools. We have a new superintendent in the Archdiocese for Catholic schools, and he was giving us a vision of what he thinks should happen with Catholic schools in the coming years. During the question hour, a priest asked the question. He said, "How are Catholic schools catering to the needs of the immigrants? Because there is a new wave of immigration in this country." And Dr. Jim Rigg answered the question by saying, "About 100 years ago, Catholic schools were started by the immigrants to take care of the immigrants from different countries, different cultures, speaking different languages. 100 years back, Catholic schools were able to accommodate the needs of all these immigrant kids." And he said, "And today, there is a different group of immigrants in our midst. Should we not take care of them?" Now, hear the logic in today's readings. God says, "You shall not molest or oppress an alien, for you were once aliens yourselves in the land." I think that's what Dr. Rigg was saying. We were immigrants once, and now it is our turn not to treat other immigrants with contempt, but rather as people of God, people who love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, that we can take care of those who come among us and the needs of the children who could come to our schools. We must protect the poor because none of us can claim to be rich in God's presence. We are all poor in God's presence. We must be compassionate because we ourselves stand in need of God's compassion. We must love our neighbor as ourselves because the God we worship loves us unconditionally, and we would be lost without God's love. Folks, in a very few moments, bread and wine will be placed on this altar. And normally we say this bread and wine expresses our gratitude to God. But I'm going to suggest as we bring this bread and wine, let's bring the poorest, the weakest, and the most vulnerable of our society in that bread and wine and place it on this altar. And as God transforms this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, I pray that God will transform our hearts, so we can indeed love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. And then we can love the poor, the vulnerable, place a circle of protection, have a preferential option for for the poor in our hearts. I think that's what today's readings are telling us. And the people of God said,
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.